You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Deliverance is coming, my friends, as it comes to a woman in childbirth.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, maker of all that is, reconcile us to yourself in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Give everything in heaven and earth the hope of freedom from the shackles of mortality on the day of the appearing of your Son, with the glorious disclosure of your sons and daughters who live by faith in your Son and love him with all their hearts. In him we pray. Amen. The pain of childbirth, I'm told, is very sharp and becomes more intense with every new spasm. There is a moment, women say, when it becomes almost unbearable. But those very agonies are the welcome signs that deliverance and joy are near. The travail of mothers before birth has always been an impressive, mystifying, somewhat awesome, and sometimes terrifying thing to contemplate and to experience, not only for mothers, but often more so for other members of the family waiting for the cry of the baby when it is born. St. Paul must have been duly impressed, although he was never married and never had children, except those he more or less adopted, like Timothy and Titus, who were reborn as the result of his efforts for Christ. Paul must have wondered about the process of childbirth that gives a woman so much pain to produce such a wonderful result. It reminded him of the process of the world itself, the one it's going through right now, painful, mystifying, somewhat awesome, and at times terrifying. Is there any meaning to all the pain in the world? There is, he said. Something is happening in the providence and under the guidance of God that looks very much like the travail of a woman in childbirth. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it, in hope. Because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in travail together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. I do not know what childbirth would have been had there been no rebellion against God, no sin, no rejection of his will, no transgression of his law. In the Bible, the pain of childbirth is explicitly tied to the willfulness of humanity after falling into sin, its willingness to go its own way, and its unwillingness to go God's way. The Lord said to the woman, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. To the man, he said, Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. This is the way things are. We can speculate on what might have been, but we have to take things as they are. Bread does require sweat, and birth does cause pain. The creation of God, the physical world with its wonders, was declared good by God himself. That creation has itself been subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who made it good. Something is wrong with the world. It is not as it first came from God's creative hand. There are floods, typhoons, tornadoes, earthquakes, hurricanes, landslides, droughts, and famines. Like the men who attempt to tame, domesticate, and rule them, animals also get sick, grow old, suffer injuries, and at last die. If I read the Bible correctly, it was humanity that introduced this disharmony into the world. The effects of human sin did not stop with man and woman. It affected all of the creation, especially the earth. And not only the earth, but all of creation. A penetrating observation has been made by Gerald Craig in his comment on this text. The thoughtful observer, he says, needs no convincing that we live in a world which has gone mysteriously and radically wrong. The ills of human life are apparent enough. Its chosen paths have led us disastrously astray. Man's folly and sin have brought upon him their own inevitable consequences. But in some strange fashion, the contagion of our own evil has spread beyond the confines of our own life, and the whole of creation seems involved. Nature, red in tooth and claw, is a problem to any sensitive spirit. It's a similarly bold metaphor that St. Paul employs. The whole creation has been groaning in travail together until now. Turning to the whole suffering creation around him, beholding all of its evils, the storms, the earthquakes, pain, and death, he confidently declares, "Mother Nature is in labor, as if about to give birth to a baby." Mother Nature is in labor. She is waiting for something, the birth of a baby. Creation waits with eager longing for something that is to be revealed. Creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. The fields and the flowers, the bushes and the trees, the cattle and the horses, the dogs and the cats have a mournful look. Though they are dumb and cannot tell what they feel, they are waiting for something. The planets and the stars are waiting. The suns and the moons are waiting. The created universe waits on tiptoe for God's sons to be revealed. As St. Paul says, the universe itself is made the victim of frustration, not by its own choice, but because of him who made it so. Through the inanimate and animate creation, the universe of God's own making, there runs a thread of hope. The universe itself is to be freed from the shackles of mortality. The whole created universe up to the present time groans in all its parts as if in the pains of childbirth. It groans, it waits for something that is still to be, the glorious liberty of the children of God. Mother Nature is not God. With all the talk about ecology and the despoliation of the world by humanity, you might almost think that Mother Nature has it within her power to tell people how they can live happily ever after. If we will just conform to the demands of nature, we shall be all right. Not so. Mother Nature herself is in travail. She too is subject to the will of him who made her, the God of heaven and earth and of all that is therein. Mother Nature is laboring and waiting like a woman in the pangs of childbirth, for the disclosure of something new and great that can come only from her creator, that will come only because he has something great in mind. What is Mother Nature waiting for? St. Paul says she is waiting with eager expectation, as if on tiptoe, for the disclosure of the sons of God. With all its frustration and all its pain, sharp, intense, and sometimes unbearable, the whole created universe groans to be freed from the shackles of mortality. The creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. What is wrong with the world will be set right by God. What is painful now will be forgotten then, as a woman forgets her pain when a child is born. What has come from God's creative hand and has been subjected to futility by his will, not because nature sinned, but because man sinned, will be reborn by the redemptive power of the one who created the universe. What happened because of man will be set right by God. Mother Nature is not the only one in labor. All of humanity is in pain, too. But only a part of humanity is laboring in hope. Only those people see the meaning of it all who have come to know the creator of the universe as the Redeemer he is. He cares. He cares about people. He cares about their pains and sorrow. They know God who know his Son, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. They know God because they know his Son. They know he loves, he forgives, and he gives life that will be revealed one day in all its glory. They know him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us, said a man who knew Jesus Christ. The creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The sons of God have a great affinity with Mother Nature. They are Mother Nature's hope. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in travail together until now. Not only creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Deliverance is coming, my friends, as it comes to a woman in childbirth. The joy of new birth is right around the corner, amid all the pain and the groaning in which it occurs. Rebirth in Christ is a present reality for many people. That is what Christ said must happen and will happen to people who have faith in him. They will get a new life right here and now. It will be new amid all the sorrows, disappointments, and death that are so familiar on the human scene. But we are all human. We all groan together. What we have now is not heaven, but earth. We do not have heaven on earth. Something still remains to be revealed. That is the glory of it all. I've heard people say that when they got to know Jesus Christ, they never had another unhappy day in their whole lives. I wish I could say that, but I can't. St. Paul could not say that. In fact, he emphatically disavowed it. If the creation groans in all its parts as if in the pangs of childbirth, so do we, he said. He was talking for himself and for all the followers of Christ. They don't go around with rosy-colored glasses seeing only what they want to see. They are people like other people, with only one difference. Followers of Christ receive the Spirit of God as a kind of down payment on what is still to be, the first fruits of a great harvest that is just now starting to come in. They have hope. A lot of things can happen, and a lot of things will happen before that harvest is finally brought in. People who have received the Spirit of God have faith in Christ, and they live in the joy of God's forgiveness because of the atonement of Jesus Christ for their sins. They've got a great hope, which makes the sufferings of this present time like the travail of a woman in childbirth, waiting for the joyful deliverance that is yet to be. What a baby is about to be born, St. Paul describes it. Creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. I wish I knew exactly what Paul means by that. Is he predicting that birds and beasts will arise with God's sons and daughters on the resurrection morning? If that's what he's saying, you dog and cat lovers have got something great to look forward to. They served you well, and you grieved over them. They grieved for you, too. They were animals in God's good world when he made it. Why not in the one he's going to remake? But we'll leave that to him. For the real glory on that great day will be the disclosure of the sons of God, the glorious liberty of the children of God, set free by God from the shackles of mortality. He will give ultimate redemption, the redemption of our bodies. If Mother Nature labors in hope, every son and daughter of God, every Christian, labors in the same way. It is a labor in hope. Joy is just around the corner. Where does that hope come from? It comes from Jesus Christ. His death and resurrection are the ground of all hope in this laboring world of ours. He was laid to rest in our ground, and he came forth from that ground, alive and Lord. By resurrection from the dead, God declared him to be the Son of God with power. By his own great glory, God put his stamp of approval on the atonement of Jesus Christ for the sins of the world. By his great glory, God called him forth to reign forever and ever. The sons of God here will be disclosed there because of Jesus Christ. The frustrated here will come into their glorious liberty there. Having the Spirit here is a comfort in their travail. There they will be declared God's sons and daughters, and they will be set free, bodies included. What Paul is saying is that in the day when God discloses his sons and daughters, there will be no longer dead people. No tears, no tombstones, no funeral parlors, and no cemeteries. Nature itself will see what it has been waiting a long time to see. A great rescue from bondage and decay to liberty and glory. How is the baby to be born? When all is said and done, it is in redemption. Redemption of the bodies of all those for whom, while they were yet enemies, Christ died. Who have found in Christ forgiveness, joy, hope, and life. For whom to live is Christ, and to die is gain. No wonder that St. Paul said, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Hope of freedom is better than confinement in a coffin. Heaven is better than hell. The leaves no longer whisper the sorrow and the sighing of autumn when the budding of springtime is near. It is bound to happen, my friend. It will happen for you. As by the power of God, you put your faith in Christ and receive the gift of his Spirit. The reshaping of your life begins with faith in Christ. The remodeling of it will go on until the day of your departure by the power of his Spirit. But the revelation of it will come with splendor yet unrevealed when you find out what he has in store for you. Understand, my friends, that the pains and the pangs, whatever they are, belong here. Not there. But there are clear signs to you, right here and now, of something great still to be revealed. That magnificent future God has planned for those who love him, and who wait with eager expectation for the day of the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know what is happening, really happening, in this mixed-up universe of ours? The whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own. Amen.